are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. It's episode 2 this week of 5, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com. We are available on all platforms, and we're always talking birds on Twitter as well after the show. At Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, L-O-E. It's day 2 of this circus that is the Philadelphia Eagles post Doug Peterson. As we all know, yesterday the Philadelphia Eagles fired their head coach, Doug Peterson, after 5 years with the team, a Super Bowl in 2017, a playoff win in 2018, a playoff appearance, an NFC East championship in 2019. Then they go 4-11-1 in 2020, and they relieve his duties as head coach. Yesterday, I got into a reaction podcast. Again, you can find that on any platform. And today, me and Gino are going to continue to dive into what happened yesterday. And Gino, a big thing that I want to get into that I didn't have the opportunity to during the recording was, because he didn't talk to the media till after, was owner Jeffrey Lurie's press conference. And man, let me be honest, I've never come away from a press conference being so discouraged about this organization, where the past 3 years, me and you have talked all the time about this team playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. It felt like they really had their stuff together. They were ahead of the curve in every avenue of roster building, of talent acquisition, you know, quarterbacks, coaching, on the field stuff. Everything felt like finally they had their stuff together. And then I came away from that press conference hearing Lurie talk. And normally I think he's a very intelligent and thoughtful owner. And then I heard him yesterday talking. I'm like, what is the plan for this organization going forward? What is Lurie talking about? Nothing he really said made any sense. That honestly was one of the worst press conferences that I've ever seen. And so just the excuses and the lack of accountability that Lurie, you know, had, especially with Howie Roseman, was just so disappointing. I don't know if you caught a lot of the press conference, but man, yesterday was a really disappointing day. Just with everything that happened, I couldn't really disagree more with what the Eagles did.
I'll play devil's advocate to an extent, and it's a tough situation to be in, because you were comfortable for 5 years and you had that comfort of having the same head coach, and you've had the comfort of having only 3 head coaches, and now will be your 4th in the last 20 some odd years. So for
it's also the 4th head coaching search for Howie Roseman in 8 years.
Fair. That is very fair. I will give you that, Lou. That is a very fair way to look at it. But the thing is, from all the talks and everything that we had heard that has come up through this entire venture of Doug Peterson, is that in the end, we know how Jeffrey Lurie trusts guys to an extent, and he is very loyal. I don't think he trusted Doug Peterson as much as people made it out to be.
Because after
the firing of Walsh and Groh, I mean, Jeff McClain came out with that report that said that Doug wanted to quit in 2020.
In 2016, Gino, they interviewed Jim Schwartz after the season, even when Doug wasn't fired. This team never trusted Doug Peterson, even though I don't think it was justified. He was their last pick. They wanted Adam Gase. They wanted Ben McAdoo. But again, the bigger point that I'm trying to get to here is that there's a reason those head coaches didn't want to come here. And there's a reason even Doug Peterson was finally fed up, was who Jeffrey Lurie instilled his trust in and who he's loyal to is my problem. And yeah, we knew that last year he didn't trust Doug, and this year even too. Doug had those 2 meetings and Lurie just didn't believe in the plan. My issue is just what Lurie talked about yesterday, what he justified the move, and how he just did not hold Howie accountable at all. It was just very discouraging to me.
Totally. And the thing that I really can never give you a firm answer on is like who's making the executive decisions, because there was a report that came out that apparently the staff and the scouting staff and Howie love Justin Jefferson.
Gee, I wonder who leaked that.
But Doug loved Jalen Reagor, but I will only hold that so often until we find out what the root cause of that was. But when it's all said and done, we know that Jeffrey is going to give Howie every single opportunity. And the thing is, Lou, I finally think, and I believe that he is on the shortest leash that he could be moving forward.
Based on what I heard yesterday, man, he didn't one time, he made up so many excuses in there was no accountability. Not once did he ever question Howie's process yesterday. That's my thing, is he didn't once say they need to be better in the personnel department. So that's why I'm so discouraged, is if I could feel that short leash, I would be like, okay. But the excuses for Howie, while failing to give me a reasonable explanation for firing Doug, even though I can come up with a lot of reasons for firing Doug, Lurie did not yesterday. And that was the circus I'm talking about, is that the media put him to the fire over and over again, right up front, asking him about Howie Roseman's process and his track record, drafting, free agent moves, decisions with the roster and the coaching staff as well. And Lurie could never give you a straight answer. And he just defended him to such an extent that was so clear and obvious how loyal and blindly loyal he is to this guy. And that is my problem.
Totally. But when it's all said and done, Lou, let's look at what we originally addressed as the issue here in Philadelphia. We said that there are the three problems here. Or not the three problems, but the three biggest issues were your head coach, GM, and your quarterback. So if you look at it, getting a GM to come in and clean up a $70 million in debt cap mess isn't fair. And I've made this point known many times. I still believe that that John Dorsey move is bigger than we think. And I'm glad that he's still in the building, and I will see it through in this draft process. And I firmly believe that Howie knows that. That Jeffrey knows that Howie isn't the best evaluator of talent, and he has done the same thing and brought in guys like Joe Douglas and all these other individuals, and wanted to structure it so that Howie has a second in line, and he really needs it now, Lou, because we know that Howie can take care of the contract part of this whole situation. But you're right, I don't want him making the brunt of the executive decisions moving forward. But the good thing is, when I look back at this move, I now take Howie Roseman completely out of the equation, and I look at it from this. You and I both believe that Carson Wentz could come back and be a good quarterback, and we still believe that he is. Between Doug and Carson, there was no fixing that. And you're not going to get out of that contract as much as people want to believe. That dead cap is never going to get on your books in 2021 nor 2022. I don't believe that. And I firmly believe this franchise wants to move forward with Wentz. So now, with Doug out of the picture, you have the situation where you can find a guy that, okay, does he believe in Carson Wentz? Because if we have a good head coaching and quarterback relationship like we thought we did, we can overcome a lot of those personnel issues. Still not giving Howie Roseman an excuse, but right now, your best option forward is to find somebody that will take Carson Wentz and build that plan around him. And it's going to be tough to mess up that 6th overall pick, Lou, I know. But if we believe that that pick is going to be a wide receiver, which I think a large majority of our audience does and a large majority of the fan base does, you should want to be in this situation in terms of having a plan at the offensive positions and a turning point in your franchise. Because we know when it comes to personnel, there will be questionable decisions. But head coaching and quarterback play makes up for a lot of that. So now we kind of can have this reconciliation at the quarterback position for Wentz, that if you bring in a guy like Joe Brady or Eric Bieniemy or somebody that's completely sold on Wentz, you might cover up a lot of those issues once again, and we're going
to
find out.
You should have to keep covering up those holes, and especially when you're starting such an important rebuild like Lurie talked about, you're letting Howie do this for a fourth time where he gets to – I get what you're saying. Don't let a new GM have to clean up Howie's mess, but how many GMs – this is so unprecedented where a GM not only gets to fix one mess he helped create, the Dream Team, but a second one after Chip Kelly, and now a third one. It's just – for a GM to be going on his fourth head coaching search in – you know, less than a decade, to me, like, and I get, you're making some really good points, and I'm not saying you're making excuses for Howie at all. We've both held him to the fire all year. It's just Jeffrey Lurie yesterday. I mean, he even talked, it was a lot of excuses for Howie and no real weight towards the explanation for letting Doug go. And I think one thing I want to get into that he talked about was he really tried to justify Howie's shortcomings through this short window talk, right? 2016 to 2020, they were really gunning for that championship. And when they won it, they tried to run it back 2 years in a row, and now there needs to be a rebuild. So that was the excuse for Howie's shortcomings, and it was also the reasoning behind firing Doug Peterson, which to me there's a lot of hypocrisy in that, that Howie gets a pass because of this mentality, this philosophy that Lurie's talking about, but that's the reason for Doug getting fired. He talked about Doug Peterson being all in on the short term and how that's almost like a bad thing, how it wouldn't have been able to work. And that's where that excuse is what I just did not understand at all. I mean, I don't get why being in a long-term mindset now, which the Eagles need to be. I agree with that philosophy, and I agreed with the short-term philosophy earlier that Howie had. That's not anything that I had a problem with. It's that that doesn't justify Howie's shortcomings, and it still, to me, isn't a valid excuse for getting rid of Doug. Like, what does rebuilding have to do with Doug Peterson being your head coach? A guy that, by the way, made a very long-term-like decision week 17 when he tanked that game for you. I mean, that's a long-term move that Doug made. So I think just it's an excuse for Howie. It's a bad one. It's a bad justification for firing Doug. Because to me, you don't have to sacrifice the long term for the short term, or vice versa. And if you zoom in, we're talking about the short term. Lurie just looked past the fact that Howie messed up those short term moves too. So I never had a problem with the philosophies that Lurie's talking about. It's the actual moves that were made for long term and short term success that just didn't work. So I don't think that's a valid, being all in on that window doesn't excuse the bad draft picks that they had. Sure, they didn't have a lot because they went all in, but the picks you had, you messed up on, the bad free agent signings, the bad contracts. And so it's an excuse. Look, the real reason Doug got fired, Jeffrey Lurie didn't believe in his offense anymore. He didn't believe in his ability to rebuild Carson Wentz or develop Zach Wilson or Jalen Hurts or whoever you want it to be. And he didn't want to give him more power that Doug wanted, especially if it affected his guy, Howie Roseman. That is the real reason. And so that's what I wanted him to come out and say yesterday. And he was just very two-faced and lacking accountability to the people that I thought deserved it. And so I'm frustrated today. I'm not feeling good about this team, really.
See, it's a difficult situation because I believe both of those questions are kind of independent of each other. And it's like, you can't use the same excuse to keep Howie as you did to fire Doug. But that's what he did. I know. And that's the thing that I believe he messed up on. And I can see why you're upset, and I can see why a lot of the media is upset. But when you look at it, Lou, you have to look at those two things as two completely different pillars. And we've known, and we've had the Howie discussion. We know that he should be on the shortest leash out of all of them. We know this. This isn't revisionist history. We know that Howie has had questionable decisions, but we know that Jeffrey Lurie has been blind loyal to him and is going to continue to be. But in terms of Doug Peterson, we knew that the vision moving forward wasn't what Jeffrey wanted, and we know that being on the same page with your owner, with your head coach, with your GM, with your QB is key.
Oh, it is. I'm just frustrated that they weren't on the same page. That's why I'm frustrated, because I feel like they should have been.
They should have been. I totally agree, and I don't know what the discussions were as to why Doug Peterson didn't want to change his offensive thinking. And
I think he was done being told what to do. I mean, that was the report. I think he was done having Howie and Lurie having so much influence on what he decides.
I believe that's a good reason why they kind of departed. And the thing is, if they're not on the same page, this team wasn't going to go anywhere. And we saw what 18, 19, and now 20 has been. And if you're not on the same page, you're not going to have success. And frankly, as bad as some of these Howie Roseman draft picks has been, Lou, so have been the decisions of Doug Peterson to play guys like Alshon Jeffrey over John Hightower and Jalen Reagor and some of your younger guys, and some of the decisions to want to go out there and get JP to stay and play your left tackle position. So it's a double-edged sword with the personnel decisions and who actually got on the field. But the thing is, now, if Carson Wentz and Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie were on the same page, but Doug Peterson was the one that was keeping them from going forward, if you can find that last cog to the machine, we might be talking about this offense that we thought we were for the last 3 years. And that's the thing that inspires confidence in me, Lou. And I know it's a tricky situation to be in, and it's not a great situation to have your owner come out and just spill all this hullabaloo all over the place. But the thing is, we know that it's clouded, but here is the path. Like, once we see the head coaching hire, Lou, I think we'll get a better understanding of what Jeffrey and Howie were really looking for. And that's what I'm waiting for.
And the one thing I agree with you about is, and I said this on the show yesterday, if it came down to Howie versus Doug, that's when I'm all in on Doug. But if this had to do with Carson Wentz, and if,
right.
look, if you couldn't keep Carson Wentz next year because of Doug Peterson, then you prioritize the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. You prioritize quarterback over any of this that we're talking about. So that's the one. And we don't know, that, like you said, you know, Lurie's excuses yesterday. It's first off, BS. And mm-hmm. second, it's not the real reason that he fired Doug. So we don't know the real motivation. I do truly hope it had to do more with quarterback than it had to do with Howie versus Doug. Because in
and
that
we should
way,
want it to, because yeah. that
I understand
confidence
it.
In Carson Wentz.
Sure.
Like, that's huge.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not even just Wentz, too. Like, if you genuinely believe that Doug wasn't the right fit for the rookie you're going to draft, I also mm-hmm. get that. If it had to do with quarterback, I will never fault you for having quarterback being the priority of your decision making. It's like, if that is the reason, the backbone for what you're deciding, then it's hard for me to fault you, because that is still should always be the priority for a team, and that's how you'll mm-hmm. have success. I just, you know, it's hard for me to truly believe that that was the key reason after hearing a lot of these problems. But, you know, it's a messy situation. But now you've kind of cleaned your hands with it at head coach. And now you got to move forward and find the next one and see if they can work with this power dynamic. And that's the one part that I don't know. I hope some of these top candidates, because there's, you know, there's a lot of good guys I like out there mm-hmm. when it comes to offensive minds, potentially being your new head coach. There's a lot of good ones. I just hope that they're willing to even consider this job, because it's not an easy one. If you want power, if you want control and some say in your roster, I don't think you're going to get it, because if Doug Peterson didn't get it, a Super Bowl winning head coach, I don't know who's going to. Today's Locked On Eagles is brought to you by betonline.ag. Are we ready for some playoff football? The NFL gets into the divisional round this weekend, and there's only one place that has you covered for all your bets, and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account and use that promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for your 50% off welcome bonus. Also, you can place futures, individual bets right now, betonline.ag. The Philadelphia Eagles need a new head coach. The betonline.ag odds right now have Eric Bieniemy, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, and the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback coach Mike Kafka both tied for 4-1 odds. That's the highest of any coaching candidate for the Philadelphia Eagles. Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll comes in at number 3 with 9-2 odds there. So you can bet on who the next Eagles head coach is, anything you can possibly imagine, at betonline.ag. And you're going to receive a 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So let's look at it like this, though. When we were trying to hire an offensive coordinator the last couple years, the big hiccup was, if they come here, they aren't going to be able to call plays, because we knew Doug Peterson was going to be that guy that called plays. Now you have the opportunity to bring in an offensive-minded head coach.
That is an incentive. Now, yeah, good point.
Who can now, one, if they're in love with Wentz and you believe that you have your quarterback and you don't even have to draft a guy, this is a very enticing position. And I said this on Locked On NFL yesterday to Ross, that if you look around the head coaching vacancies right now, Lou, with the question marks of what's going on in Houston with Deshaun Watson, you look at Atlanta, you don't know if they're going to be in the full rebuild mode or not. You look at the Jets and all those other teams. What team foundationally has the best setup at quarterback? And you would be hard-pressed to tell me that it isn't the Philadelphia Eagles, whether if you believe Jalen is the guy or you believe Carson is the guy. But I believe there are many proponents of Carson Wentz still out there around the NFL that say, hey, man, I can go into a job where I no longer have to worry about Doug being the play caller. I can design my offense around this kid that hasn't been used the right way in the last 3 years. If you can get a guy like Brian Daboll, who has made Josh Allen look like the second coming, count me in. I mean, that's what you want on offense. You want somebody that can reclaim Wentz to be one of the top guys, because you say it all the time, Lou. Playing Jalen Hurts and believing what he did in 4 games is never going to influence you otherwise of what you saw out of Wentz the prior 4 seasons. And I right. completely agree with you.
Yeah.
And if you bring in a guy who can build that offense to what your quarterback wanted it to be, this is an enticing job situation, because one, you have 2 quarterbacks that could possibly be the franchise, or you could draft one at 6. You now can be the head coach and call plays. And 3, this roster is going to be built from the ground up, essentially. So now is your time to get on the ground floor with a team that
yeah, you've got time.
Has the most important position. So frankly, this is one of the higher head coaching positions that I would want to take a job if I'm one of these guys interviewing right now.
I do agree with you. There's positives for sure. At quarterback, you have optionality, and you do have that if you're an offensive mind, if you're Joe Brady, if you're Eric Bieniemy, Mike Kafka, Arthur Smith, Brian Daboll, you know, a lot of these guys that are available right now, yeah, you get play calling as well. But then, you know, I could play devil's advocate and say, will they have say in the quarterback? Is Jeffrey Lurie going to come to you and say, if you want to be head coach, it's all about Carson Wentz, or we're going forward with Jalen Hurts, or we're drafting a kid at six? I wonder how much say the head coach would have in that quarterback decision. That will also weigh into their decision if this is an enticing job or not. So there's a lot that, you know, goes into it that we really won't know, I guess, until we see who the head coach is and, you know, who they decide at quarterback. But I get it, man. Look, as much as I didn't want Doug Peterson to be fired this year, there are a lot of candidates that I really do like. It's just, again, my bigger problem today isn't really with the firing itself. I was upset about, and for all the reasons I said yesterday, it's more after the fact last night watching the press conference, hoping to feel something good about this team and the direction, and trying to like read Jeffrey Lurie, because he wasn't going to say it, but I wanted to, I wanted to read him and see if like he has a clear plan of where this team is going, and that's just. That's the part I felt a little iffy about, and so, I don't know, it's mostly about the Roseman stuff. He just, there was the time he was asked about Roseman's bad draft history, and Lurie, for some reason, talked about how his ability to build a strong staff around him is a distraction to that, and then he talked about how part of that draft track record, he said, well, there's just so many stars that go ahead of your pick, but that doesn't really explain the DK Metcalf situation, Justin Jefferson falling behind you, Terry McLaurin, Jeremy Chinn. He mentioned NFC title appearances as another distraction for these questions, when Roseman was only the GM for one of those. I don't know. That's more so the frustration with me today is, because I do feel optimistic, honestly, about the head coaching search. It's more so just about, you know, Lurie's loyalty to Howie.
And that's going to be the thing, and that's why I'm excited. And
it'll
I know
be fun, at least, man. We're going to have a lot of content.
It will be, and we have our vision in our head of what we want this team to be. And I think you and I and a lot of these other people that study this team have a good understanding of where they want to go moving forward. And the whole thing, getting back to basics, actions speak louder than words. We have ridiculed how the Eagles have handled the media, from the head coaching position to quarterbacks to GM to the owner. And I think yesterday was a very big example of that, and how they just talk themselves in circles time and time again.
They
but
do,
what it comes
and it's like
down
and they're
to,
leaking info that doesn't make them look good. Like that thing you talked about, how the scouting department and how you wanted Jefferson, that makes us think that Howie, to me, that doesn't make them look good. I think, oh, Howie leaked that the day Doug Peterson got fired to justify taking Rager. I don't know.
It could be. Yeah, I don't know. But when it's all said and done, the action of who you hire at coach is going to be huge. And the two main points in this offseason that I'm looking forward to are when they hire that head coach and draft day. Because when you hire the head coach and that selection you make at six is a huge indication of where you want to go forward. Yeah. And if we see a wide receiver or another position, I believe that they have found their head coach that believes that Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts is the guy moving forward. And if you see it's a quarterback, you now have a new direction to take. And that's ultimately what it's going to come down to, is the actions of this organization. And the first step is getting this guy. And for the first time, Lou, in our head coaching search, we are in a weird situation that we actually have quarterbacks that people might want to coach.
Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. One reason to repair and to maintain your car is to save money that you can use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Make sure you write down Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at RockAuto.com. The QB plan's fascinating. I mean, and I don't know if you heard Lurie yesterday, he was kind of, and I couldn't really get a good read for what his plan is. He talked a lot about wanting to fix Carson Wentz and believing in his abilities and seeing the majority of the sample size being good, that that's who he truly is. But he also was non-committal. He talked a lot about Jalen Hurts, a lot about a competition. He called both of them assets and even kind of hinted at whoever maybe wins the job, you could trade the other. So that, could you imagine, by the way, if Howie and Hurts are the ones that survive all of this at the end of it? Man.
We're always living in an alternate reality with the Philadelphia Eagles, and that frankly would be something. But when it's all said and done, I think the move forward was without Doug. And it's such a terrible thing to say that he won you a Super Bowl, but just looking at it outside of that, we know how much those two playoff appearances covered up a lot of the issues that we have seen in play calling and a lot of the other issues that we have seen in the loyalty, not just in terms of Jeffrey to Howie, Lou, but how about Doug with his guys like Jim Schwartz and Dave Phipp? Like,
And again, I don't want to make it seem like I had no issues with Doug Peterson. There was a lot of stuff that I understand why he's not the coach anymore, because there were legitimate issues since the Super Bowl that were featuring Doug Peterson at the forefront. So I don't want to make it seem like that. It's just it's who is held accountable versus who's not. I felt like both should be. And, you know, again, that's more where I'm at here. But if it comes, look, I'm still more focused. You know, the big thing right now is quarterback, and it's now who's the next head coach. Because regardless of what I think about Howie Roseman as GM, or regardless of what anybody thinks, they still won a Super Bowl with him as the GM. And they still had an MVP-level quarterback, a Super Bowl MVP quarterback in Nick Foles that year, and a great damn play caller in Doug Peterson. So you know if you get those two things right, like you said earlier in the show, that's going to cover up a lot of things. And so that's what I'm just so invested in now, is finding out, okay, who is their choice at head coach? Do these top candidates want to come to Philly? And if they do, who do they want to be the quarterback, or who potentially do the Eagles want them to, you know, coach up at the position? My dream right now, and I'm curious before we wrap up the show, who you think right now, my priority would be Carson Wentz. I'm fixing him. And look, I would love a guy like Joe Brady, the Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator. That is my dream duo. The one that I'm kind of nervous about right now would maybe be Lincoln Riley, as much as I like him. That move would probably keep Jalen Hurts as your starter. That's maybe the scenario I'm not as ideal about, but that's what I'm into now, is let's find out who this new pairing is at quarterback and coach, because that's really what won you a championship more than anything, as it should. With most teams, that's what wins you titles: quarterback, head coach.
I said my big three yesterday were Daboll, Bieniemy, and then Lincoln Riley, and I think Joe Brady, once I remembered that he was one of the better offensive-minded coaches from the college ranks to the NFL, or to the NFL, to the college ranks, back to the NFL. He's a guy that is right up the avenue of what we want. Not a recycled head coach like the NHL does, and hiring guys like Peter Laviolette 10 times. Bringing in a guy that has experience in multiple different areas, comes from the college ranks, is a younger guy. You've seen these young head coaches building connections with their quarterbacks that have been great. I mean, Sean McVay, for example. You look at Kyle Shanahan, what he's been able to do with three different guys there in San Francisco. That's a type of move that I want to make. Bieniemy is definitely the bell of the ball. I would say Dable's a close second. And then if you can get invigorative and bring in a guy like Brady or Lincoln Riley or anybody else you can think of from the college coaching ranks, I'm in, man. I was so sick of seeing how slow this offense was, how not fun it was to watch, how slow it was at times. Look at what Carolina did, Lou. They had three receivers over 1,000 yards on offense.
Maybe if we get Brady, they'll get. Maybe if they get Joe Brady, we can bring Curtis Samuel along too for the ride. And I think he would be. I think I'd go Bieniemy first. I really like what Dable has done with Josh Allen in Buffalo, and I'm envisioning Wentz in that offense, and I think that would really be perfect, and I think that could fix him. And then third, I'd say Brady. But look, I also like the Eagles requested interview Arthur Smith today, the Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator. I'm a fan of that move as well, and even though I think it's kind of a Doug Peterson 2.0 move with Mike Kafka, I'm not closing the door on that either. I don't want Geno. This is the last thing I'll say about head coach. I don't want a defensive-minded guy, because not that I'm saying they can't be great head coaches. Sean McDermott, the Buffalo Bills, great head coach, defensive mind. But what happens when you do that is, look, when you have a guy like Brian Daboll as your offensive coordinator, teams want that kind of guy as your head coach. So you're going to be more prone to lose that offensive mind you have if he's not your head coach. And so I want that guy to be the head of my team. And also because I just think offensive guys are more aggressive, and I want that to be my philosophy of the team still. With Doug Peterson, that's what it was, and I still want that to be the case now. So I want an offensive mind. I want a head coach that I can keep as my play caller for the future. And I think Jeffrey Lurie, although he's requesting some different kind of guys, the San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator has been requested to interview with the Eagles as well. But I think Lurie talking yesterday about how enamored he is with passing and being an elite offense, I do think the guys we're mentioning really will be the focus. Bieniemy, Kafka, Dable, Smith, Brady, Kafka even. I think those
Toss
are the
Graham
guys
Harrell in there who they wanted to interview last year.
They want to be their OC. And if he's ready to make that step, and Lincoln Riley as well, those are the guys we should focus on, because I think that's who the Eagles are going to be focusing on for sure.
Totally agreed, and that we're proactive in that department, that we want a big name guy. And how long have I been saying to go get an OC from the college ranks? Lou, you're probably sick of it. It's 3 years running now that I've been saying the same freaking thing. So it's about time that if Graham Harrell wanted play calling abilities, now is his chance. If Joe Brady wanted the same thing, now is his chance. Dable, same thing. And I love the point you made, Lou, that if you get a defensive-minded head coach, you're always having to adjust your offense because you do lose your offensive coordinator. I've been telling all my Bills friends that Josh Allen has had an excellent to very good to an elite season. But what's going to happen when Dable leaves?
Well, and you frankly, saw what even Frank Reich's not the play caller, Gino, but let's be honest. I mean, when you lost him as your OC, that's a big deal. And so, yeah, that's the thing. I don't want to lose that guy over and over again. And it's also just the entire team's philosophy. Not to say defensive minds can't be aggressive, but normally, with track records throughout the history of the league, those guys tend to be more conservative because they trust their defense to win games. And I don't want to be that kind of team. And it's even like with Deuce Staley. I love Deuce Staley, but I don't want a run game kind of guy to be the person leading the philosophy of my football team. Not to say those guys are going to be conservative, but they're more prone to be.
When it's all said and done, moving the football in the air is the easiest way to score points. It's the most efficient way to score points. Look
that's
at the best
priority,
teams
man.
In the
passing
NFL.
Passing game and quarterback, and that's what's dictating my decision at head coach.
Look at the best three teams in the NFL right now. Kansas City, Green Bay, and the Bills. What are they elite at right
they
now?
They all throw the football 40-plus times a game.
And score 35-plus points every single time.
And those
play,
are the three quarterbacks up for MVP. So
you're 100% correct, man. That's the path we need to go down.
I agree.
Regardless of what Jeffrey Lurie says, I believe that we'll see more head coaching more head coaching interviews in that department, in the offensive department. Get the defensive ones out of the way quick so you know where you want to move. And I think Jeffrey has this plan in his head that he wants to be with Andy Reid and being one of the top offenses. And you see why he continues to commit to that Andy Reid coaching tree, because he has this idea that he could find the next Andy Reid. And I'm firmly on board with finding a guy that could be that next offensive mind. Look at what Kellen Moore did in Dallas the last couple of years. I mean, just a guy they brought in out of the college ranks, former quarterback, and continues to put together one of the better offenses in the NFL. So something like that is exactly what I am looking for. Not just getting younger at the skill positions, but getting younger in terms of your guys that are staffing your front office, because there are a lot of individuals in the NFL that have been around a long time and are stubborn and not willing to change their ways. It's time to get some of these guys that are going to say, okay, you want to be stuck in your ways? I'm going to be 3, 4, 5 steps ahead of you, much like Kansas City is, much like Buffalo is, much like Green Bay is, and make you impossible to defend. Because when you were watching the Eagles the last 2 years, you knew every single play they were going to run. It wasn't an intuitive offense at all. And I want to see them running three guys in the backfield like Baltimore did the other day and faking the tight end screen and flipping it out to a fullback. I would love to see an invigorative play like that.
And I want to see that's empty sets, man, where we have four receivers out there and you're spreading things out and letting Wentz work with more space, or Jalen Hurts or Zach Wilson, whoever it is. There's just, there's a lot that, again, we didn't see in this offense for the last 2 years that I'm excited about getting a new offensive mind in here and seeing that, because I think that's really going to help whoever the quarterback is.
It's going to help the morale, too, on offense, because if you're a kid like, let's say, Jalen Reagor last year, who, man, they go on and throw Alshon Jeffrey out in front of you when he comes back healthy, and you're like, man, I thought I was going to be the guy here. Now this head coach, you're going to see who his guys are. You're going to really see, and he should want to play the youth. Why a guy who can run a 4-3-8 and Jalen Reagor isn't on the field 99% of the time he's healthy is beyond me. And same with Hightower and Watkins, and I believe that is the future at offense, getting younger, getting quicker, building somebody who – Lou, if you're looking at this offense on paper – you should want to coach Miles Sanders. You should want to coach Jalen Reagor. You should want to have a top six pick. You should want to have two good quarterbacks that you can have compete. That's a heck of a situation to get into if you're a head coach. And I believe this is probably one of the two best jobs that you could come into right now. Outside of Jacksonville getting Trevor Lawrence, you're going to have a firm answer at the quarterback position, which for a head coach should be the number one question going into any franchise.
Great points, man. We'll continue to get into this throughout the week. 5 podcasts a week right here on Locked On Eagles. Download it into your phone when you subscribe on any podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio.com. You name it, me and Gino are available on any podcast platform. Also on Twitter, at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, L-O-E. It's a long off season. The Eagles have a lot of work here in this rebuild, head coaching search, who's going to be the quarterback, who's going to be the pick at number 6 overall, free agent signings, salary cap stuff, you name it, we've got you covered right here on L-O-E. For my co-host, Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.